The Executioners of England, John Ketch, Part 1. Now, William Loewen replaced Richard Brandon and carried out a multiple execution a few days after Brandon's death. 23 men and a woman, variously condemned for burglary and robbery, were taken by 8 carts to Tribune de Fatale, the place of execution. There, Loewen, the new hangman, fastened 8 of them onto each triangular derrick. Unfortunately, little is known of Loewen, except that he was a refuse collector. We don't even know how long he served before being replaced by Edward Dunn, who was in service after the English Restoration. He lived at Cripplegate near Golden Lane. It was almost certainly Dunn who, when the corpse of Cromwell, Ireton, and Bradshaw were disinterred from Henry VII's chapel in Westminster Abbey, he were required to sever the heads after exposing the remains at Tyburn, and then set them on poles on the roof of Westminster Hall. Now, Cromwell's head was not removed while Charles II reigned. His trunk was flung into a pit near Tyburn. It was probably Dunn who solemnly burnt in public in 1660 at the Old Bailey the poet John Milton's defense of the execution of Charles I, which was entitled, quote, "The Tenure of Kings and Magistrates," end of quote. Edward Dunn died in September 1663 and was succeeded by the most notorious of all hangmen of England, John Ketch, usually known as Jack Ketch. That name actually became the common term for every succeeding hangman. Now, little is known of his life before, shall we say, he took office. We know that he was confined to Marshall Sea Prison for debt around 1649, which meant he could have chosen to go into the Navy. He was undoubtedly a brutal man, for he carried out his ghastly task in unskillful fashion. For 23 years without any apparent ill effects, and then died in his bed on November of 1683. A woodcut on a broadsheet of 1678 shows a condemned man being taken to Tyburn and saying, quote, "I am sick of a traitorous disease," end of quote. Ketch is shown with an axe in one hand and a rope in the other, replying, quote, "Here's your cure, sir." Ketch's individual deeds have not been passed down to us in any detail until late in his career. In 1682, he supposedly went on strike for higher wages and won. The obscurity of Ketch's first 20 years is more than compensated for by the infamy of his last 3. The story begins with the execution of Lord William Russell. Now, he was accused of high treason in connection with the Rye House plot to assassinate Charles II. Russell was convicted, shall we say, on very slender evidence. He was sentenced to be beheaded at Lincoln Inn Fields on July the 21st, 1683. He was brought to the scaffold where Ketch waited. The executioner asked his lordship for forgiveness, and Lord Russell gave Ketch 10 guineas, that's 10 gold pieces, for a quick and efficient death. Unfortunately, the first blow only wounded Russell, who actually looked up at Ketch and said, quote, "You dog, did I give you 10 guineas to use me so inhumanely?" End of quote. Well, Ketch swung again. Well, he hit him again, but the head still wasn't severed. It indeed took 2 more hits to complete the bloody task. It was alleged that Ketch had been bribed 20 gold pieces not to kill Russell on the first blow. Ketch, of course, denied it, saying Lord Russell had moved his head at the last minute. On the same day, Algernon Sidney was also killed, but this time with 1 blow. 2 years later, the Duke of Monmouth came to Tower Hill for some, shall we say, Ketch justice. Quote, Here are 6 good guineas for you. Pray you do your business well. Don't serve me as you did my Lord Russell. I heard you struck him 3 or 4 times. Monmouth then gave more gold coins to his servant, instructing him to pay them to Ketch if he did his job properly. Then he said, quote, I cannot promise you not to stir, end of quote. Monmouth then laid down, but got up saying, pray thee, let me feel the axe. I fear it is not sharp enough. But anyway, he laid down and then gave the signal. Ketch swung his blade, but missed the wounded man, who half rose up and looked at Ketch, but then resumed the position. The axe fell twice more, but not only was the head not severed, but his body was still moving. At this point, the crowd shouted with horror, and Ketch, so frustrated, simply flung the axe down. God damn it, I can't do it, was what he said. My heart fails me. Well, the sheriff then comes forward and shouts at him, take up the axe, man. So Ketch did so, and then hit Monmouth 2 more times. The corpse finally stopped moving, but the head was still attached. Ketch had to use his knife to finally sever the head from the body. The crowd was now so enraged by the bloody spectacle that Ketch was in danger of being lynched and had to be escorted to safety by a military guard. So this is not exactly what you're looking for in an executioner. But then again, they're not quite as particular in England, it seems like. But we're not done with Mr. Ketch yet. This was just a sampling of Mr. Ketch's work. We'll look at the rest of it next week. Now, the sources for this, Hangman of England by Bailey, History of Capital Punishment by Scott, The Encyclopedia of Murder by Wilson, Collin, and Pittman, The Reluctant Hangman by Athol, and The Common Hangman by Bland. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us with a donation or a CD purchase. Thank you very much.